Hey there, if you are ready to build your service-based business from scratch and ditch your 9-to-5, then I want you to head on over to shedidithowaypodcast.com/leap and download my free Ultimate Leap Checklist and Starter Kit. Again, you can head to shedidithowaypodcast.com/leap to download my Ultimate Leap Checklist and Starter Kit to get started on building your service-based business and ditching your 9-to-5. Hello and welcome to She Did It Her Way, a podcast dedicated to helping you launch a business that allows you the freedom to create from anywhere, design your own schedule in a way that supports you, and pursue what it is that lights you up. I'm Amanda Bolin, your host, and it is time to do it your way. We are chilling and hanging out with Miss Vivian K, who is the founder of Kinky Curly Yaki, and which I love the name. It's like so fab. It's a textured hair extensions company. And Vivian, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Amanda, for having me. So excited to be here.
Yeah. Well, why don't you tell us in your own words what it is that you do, and then walk us through your journey and how you got there, and then we'll dive into more of the business tactics and like how do you manage inventory, selling products online, and all that good stuff.
We sell textured hair extensions for women of color, so primarily Black women. So how I started on the journey was in my previous life. I actually had another business. I was a wedding decorator. And I needed something that was quick and easy for me. We have some high maintenance hair. to be able to, to get it done and be out the door and do all that, within half an hour, it's not what I was best at. So I wanted something that felt natural to me, looked authentic on me, and protected my hair, because my hair is not really, my hair is not made for this, this cold that we're in, right? So. Yeah. I needed something that would protect my hair, but still looked authentic on me. While I was doing my own research or trying to solve my own problem, I would wear the hair, out and about like normal, or the wigs. And girls would ask me what my regimen was and who my hairdresser was, and because that's how natural it looked.
Wow.
When I would reveal that, I'm wearing a wig or I'm wearing a weave or whatever the case was, they would be like, wow, I would buy that. Like, I would totally buy that. And so then a light bulb went off, like, okay, well, if I would buy it and she would buy it and so would she, then there's got to be more people who would buy something like this. So that's basically how it all started.
That is okay. So That is amazing too, that you're like, okay, everyone's saying that they would buy it, so why not do that?
And why not give it a try?
Yeah, and you started the company, was it 2010?
12,
okay.
I was trying to solve my own problem in 2010, and then, I just got enough of these, I would buy that. By 2012, I was like, let's just see what happens.
Mm-hmm. You're like, let's just test this.
Because I already had a successful business, and I was quite content with doing that business.
And so what were you doing before Kinky Curly Yaki?
I was a wedding decorator.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Yeah. So I would go in, I live in Toronto. So I did a lot of decorating of the wedding. So I'd go in and do the ceiling swags and the chair covers and the centerpieces. That's what my job was. And it was a pretty demanding job. So I didn't really have time to be, too fussy with my own hair. And so then that's how I decided I needed to solve that problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, then walk us through, like, in 2012, when you launched it, take us back to the early days, like 6 months before the launch and then 6 months post the launch. What did the day look like? What were you doing? How did you determine what you first launched with, getting product? What was like, just dump that all on us?
Let's just say 6 months before. Well, because I was trying to solve my own problem, I was already into it. Like, when I get into something, like, I'm into it. So I was on the Facebook groups, I was on the forums, everyone, sharing their likes and dislikes about this particular texture and that particular texture. So I'd already done my own research. So, but I wasn't researching to start a business. I was just doing my own research. When the wedding season wound down,
yeah,
when it wound down, I said, you know what, let me just give this a try. So I literally told, like, you know, I literally just put up a website and, you know, told a couple girls in the Facebook groups, hey, listen, I've got this thing. What do you guys think? You know, if you like it, then you like it. If you don't, then let me know what you think. And it just sort of went from there. But so for 6 months after I'd started the business, it just started to, like, it didn't really trickle in. It just sort of flooded in.
No way. That's awesome.
Whoa. I was not expecting this sort of demand. I just thought it would just literally be a side business to my full-time business, or the side hustle. But yeah, I started it in my apartment in one of those, you know, those Rubbermaid drawers,
mm-hmm.
the bins with the five bins. And that was my inventory. Like, that's how I started. And now I'm in a 1500 foot, you know, warehouse and office space, like, you know, and we ship our own inventory. So it was, you know, I started out really small and really, slow. And then it just sort of scaled, like, you know, the scaling is just sort of happening on its own, but yeah.
Wow. So that was my next question from, like, a marketing strategy. It seems like the way that you described it in the beginning, a lot of it was they just flooded in. And do you attribute that to having obviously an insane, amazing, necessary, needed product? And then also, did you find that your marketing was a lot of referral, or did you do a lot of digital or print marketing?
No, well, because I was already in the Facebook groups and in the forums, I sort of had this personality. So people were like, oh, it's her? Okay, cool. I'll support. And this was in the early stages of Instagram. So I'm not entirely sure when Instagram started, but this was when, you know, it was just, okay, well, I'm tired of Facebook. Let's go to Instagram. So, So I was, you know, I was one of the first hair extension companies, I guess you could say, that was on Instagram. And I was the first, not the first, but I didn't realize that it also started with, you know, what we call today influencers. Because I just had some friends that were like, oh, we wear the same texture. And I'm like, okay, hey, can you just wear this hair and tell me what you think? And they would do videos. And then, and so they would do videos, and they would do a post on a forum or in a Facebook group, and it just sort of grew from there. So it was, I guess you could say, digital word of mouth.
Okay.
It's not like I invested thousands of dollars into, you know, influencers and Facebook ads or anything like that. It was just, hey girl, can you wear this and tell me what you think? And then it turned into a video, and then it turned into three videos, and then it turned into it just sort of snowballed from there.
Wow. Okay. That's amazing.
It really is. Like, it's, you know, I always say if I wanted to start the same business today, it would be a totally different blueprint. But,
what would you have done differently now? Like, what would that blueprint look like?
Well, you know, because back then there weren't algorithms. There weren't, there wasn't, you know, pay for play on Facebook, and, you know, your post got up to the top because, you know, you paid or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
What I would have done, what I do differently now, it's hard to say, because it's a totally different it's a totally different landscape in terms of, you know, getting your brand off the ground. But I'd probably still do the same thing, because what a lot of people fail to realize is that they buy you. They're not necessarily buying your product. They buy you. So, you know, even like when people ask me for advice now, and I just say, you know, be yourself, because people really want that genuine, like, you can buy from Amazon, you can buy from Walmart, you can do whatever, but they want that personal touch. They want that human that had that same problem, and that's why they're solving that problem, because you have that problem. Make it more personal and more hands-on for the customer, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm. Looking back to your first year of business, what was the biggest lesson you learned?
The biggest lesson I learned was that it's the exact same lesson. At first I tried to hide me. Like, I didn't think that anyone was trying to buy me. They want the product. So I didn't really tell people it was me. Or I didn't make myself the face of the brand. But then that's the lesson I learned, is that people want to see someone else having the same problem. Like, they want to see someone that looks like themselves solving their own problem, and helping them solve their problem. So I guess you could say what I learned was, you need to sell yourself, or you need to sell, the solution and not necessarily the product. So yeah, that's big. That's another piece of advice I'd give anyone starting a business. Don't sell your trinket. Sell what your trinket solves, because that's what people are buying. They're buying that. I mean, that's another thing people are buying. So yeah.
I love that. Sell the solution, not the product. How do you, from like a business operations standpoint, how do you manage your inventory? How did you determine your price point for your products? How did you determine to expand? Like, what sort of data, or maybe there was no data and it was just gut feeling, but like, what was your strategy behind making those decisions?
Well, you know, my whole business has been operated based on gut. You know, I do have, you know, there are some numbers to back up some things, but then what I would do is I would just sort of sit and listen, sit and watch, and then go with how I feel. Now in terms of price point, it's determined by the market, and by the overall expenses and the cost of production. So, you know, I don't really have a lot of control over that. However, with inventory, like when I first started, I would order, you know, only five of one thing and, you know, sort of build myself up from there. But now we're ordering kilos of just one SKU. And then, so what we're doing is we're doing sales forecasting. So we predict what we think people will buy, but because it's such an unpredictable market, like one month, every girl wants this texture. And then the next month they want a different texture. You know how women are. We just want different things at different points.
We're just so unpredictable sometimes.
Yeah, we are pretty unpredictable, but it's always a good thing. Like it always keeps us on our toes. But how we manage it is that we use, at first we used to just use, you know, pieces of paper and we just, you know, tick, 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 cross it out, you know, to count. But now we have inventory software where we scan in things with barcodes. We do, you know, inventory counts, the whole thing. Like it's a whole fancy operation now.
And how many people do you have on your team?
Yeah, right now we've got about six people.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
What was it like hiring your first employee?
It was hard. It was really hard. It took me a while to hire someone because, you know, when you, it's like your business is like your baby. So it's like handing your baby off to the babysitter and then going to the movies. You know, you're at the movie thinking, okay, are they doing that right? Are they doing this wrong? I should call and find out if they're okay. But, you know, at a certain point, you just have to trust people. And you know, I took a while to hire my first person because I had to just learn to let it go. I couldn't grow my business. I couldn't scale my business if I didn't trust anyone. Mm-hmm. Right. So to hire my first person, you know, I went to a store to buy something, and she was super helpful. And I was like, I would love to have someone like that on my team. And so then I said, hey, if you're interested in working for me, here's my number. Give me a call. And she called me the very next day.
Oh my, what a perfect way to find someone after you've already experienced a type of service or their like ability to be an employee.
Yeah. And that, I think that's a great way to find people is when you want them to treat your customers the way they treat everybody else. So when they have that ability to do that, and especially because it's your business and it's not, you know, Walmart where they could care less, you know, but if you have someone that actually cares about your personal business and your nickels and dimes, then, you know, that's a great person to have on your team.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say? I mean, okay, so 2012, we're going into 2018. So it's a pretty solid 5-6 or so years that you've been a business owner. If you were to look back on the full journey as a whole, how would you segment those years and how would you describe them? Like, what would that storyline be?
A storyline. You know, it's funny. I always think of things in terms of albums. An album.
Yeah.
Type. But you know, just recently I think of like 2017 as, you know, like Lauryn Hill's The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. So I think of it as the elevation of Vivian K. So it's like I spent all of 2017 cleaning up processes and systemizing things. Because if there's one thing, you know, as a business owner, especially after doing this for 5 years, I want to take a break. Mm-hmm. But I want to make sure that when I take a break, everything is in place and everything is going to be done the way I would like it done. So you have to put a set of systems and processes in place. So I spent a lot of this year doing that. And then in 2016, you know, I guess it was just sort of building up to that. I was just sort of realizing like, whoa, I just made my first $1 million. Like, how did I do that? And, yeah. You know, going back, looking on how I did that. All right. And then in 2015, it was adjusting because in 2014, I had my son. So, you know, so I was operating the business as a single mom, you know, trying to make sure that, you know, my son was fed and my customers were being, you know, were being looked after. So, you know, and I haven't thought about the albums for that, but I just always think of, you know, songs, music is a big part of my life. And I always try to relate songs to certain periods in my life. But yeah, it's been a journey. So you can sing that journey song. Don't stop believing. I can't remember.
Don't stop. I feel like that was a closing song in college. I went to Iowa. And so if you were at this is like a segue, but if you were at a bar, like there would be the closing time song would be the journey song. So
journey song or the closing time.
Oh, that one. Yes. The time for you to, anyway, now obviously this is a Monday, so I need to have another cup of coffee. No, I love that, like being able to clean up the process and then hitting your first million. I mean, that had to been that's amazing. And that was in 2016 and that was four years after launching the business. And so showing like having patience and everybody's journey is different, but what was able to get you through any sort of times? And again, maybe you never experienced this, but if you ever experienced any times of doubt, how did you?
Oh, all the time.
Mentally. So did you? Yeah, all the time. Like, so walk us through, like, what were some of the thoughts and like, what's your tactic or plan? Like, how do you overcome that? And then talk to us about sort of your mentoring, like where you seek out information, how do you find your coaches and what that looks like?
One of the things that I use as mentorship, and this is going to sound really silly, but I use exercise. I use exercise to just sort of clear my mind and get me into top mental shape. It's not necessarily about the physical, but well, obviously if you feel better, then you think better, then you make better decisions. But that has been a lifesaver for me. You know, and it gives me that me time and it gives me that time to just zone out and, you know, really think through things. But in terms of other coaches and mentors, like I listened to, you know, you always think that you're alone in this journey. And being an entrepreneur is one of the loneliest things you can do. Mm-hmm. And so I would seek out other entrepreneurs and just be like, man, like, you know, is it just me or is this like a crazy life to live? And everybody like, oh my gosh, I thought I was the only one. So I would seek them out online or I would go to meetup groups and, you know, talk to people in real life in that manner. But I also listen to podcasts because podcasts are, you know, things that you can listen to whenever, wherever. And one of the ones I listen to is My Leak. And I find that she has a podcast. She's the owner and founder of Curlbox, which is a textured hair extension, a textured product subscription box. They do subscription boxes for curly hair, and she again was one of the first to do that. And you know, she and I are alike. She doesn't realize that because my friend in my head, but we're alike in many ways. And so, listening to her struggles and her feedback and everything is really, you know, it's really reassured me that it's not just me. And even, you know, I have faith. I'm not the most, you know, churchy or religious person, but I really do believe that there's something somewhere, you know, looking out for me. And if I do good, then good will come back to me. So, you know, that's where I look to for mentorship and coaching, I guess you could say. But I'm not really too much into the, you know, the coaching gurus and that sort of thing, just because they're not telling me anything that I don't already know. And that's a thing because a lot of people think they don't know, but you do, you just, for some reason, not, you don't trust yourself and think that you know it, but you do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big follower of listening to your gut, because there's so many times where my gut has said, no, don't do it. And I've gone ahead and done it because my head reasoned my way out of it. And lo and behold, my gut was right. And we as women, we really need to hone into that and to listen to our gut, because that's what it's there for. It's there to help us through all these decisions and help us through the self-doubt, because you know, we're a pretty strong gender. We've been through a lot, and we're going to go through a lot. So we need to rely on ourselves to get ourselves, you know, together.
Mm-hmm. I know I was doing another podcast interview, and the guest on there said that Miriam Williamson said that silence is pregnant with God. And so in the silence, we grow. Mm-hmm. And just being present in that moment and listening to like what you're saying, the intuition, and letting that guide us, because we do hold all the answers, and it's mm-hmm. trusting in ourselves to be able to do that. What looks like a typical day for you, if there's like a sort of routine, or like how do you make sure that you're performing at your highest level possible?
Sleep is very important.
Amen.
With what? That said, I don't get a lot of it.
But when you do, you know, yeah, you are ready to like take on the world and
yes. Absolutely. Like my typical days, you know, I wake up, I turn on some music. I have a 3-year-old, a 3.5-year-old. So, I wake him up with music, and sometimes we do a little dance, and, you know, we'll sing along where we're brushing our teeth and getting ready for work and school. And then I drop him off, and then I head to the gym. I head to the gym and I punch some bags and use some running and push the sled and do whatever I need to do to just get my energy up. And then, you know, I go home and have some coffee, take a shower, and then I'm in the office. So, and then, you know, I do the office stuff. Sometimes I sing, like if you look up my Instagram, you'll see me singing in my office, doing office karaoke, because I need to.
Love it.
And so, you'll catch me doing crazy stuff like that. And then I go and pick up my little one, and then we make dinner. And then we do whatever we need to do in the last couple hours before bedtime. And then I read, I catch up on all my social media. And then I try to go to bed at a reasonable hour.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So your son is not adorable at all. Just kidding. He's such a little mate. He's like such a stud.
Yeah, he's my little guy.
He's gonna be a little heartbreaker girl. You gotta watch yourself with him.
People are always trying to steal him away from me. I'm like, no.
Oh, he is so cute. Okay, talk to us then. Like, what is planning for like 2018's coming up? How do you set goals for your business, and like, how do you lead your team through those goals? What's the process around that?
Well, we sit and plan. Like, so right now, since Black Friday, Cyber Monday's over, we're doing that moratorium on the, on what took place. So we look at the last couple of years, what happened this year, and then we try to predict what will happen the next year, and we try and plan accordingly. So this would be the second year where I've had a team in place. So I've just sort of been like, okay, guys, let's just watch what happens. This is what I typically do. Let's see what happens, and then we can correct and, you know, move forward for next year. So that's typically how we plan. We don't plan too far in advance, only because, like I mentioned earlier, it's unpredictable. I mean, it's predictable to an extent, but sometimes if, let's say, a new trend comes out where everyone's wearing, I don't know, this color hair, then we have to adjust to that. So our plans are very flexible. So that's pretty much how we plan. We're not like, I've never been like a stringent planner. Like everything has to go X, Y, Z and A, B, C and 1, 2, 3. No, I'm like, okay, so I think it's going to go A, H and B, but you know what? We need to be ready for 5, 9 and 4. Mm-hmm. You know, so, but everyone's like, no, we should do 1, 2, 3. No. I'm like, watch, because I'm pretty sure that's what's going to happen. And lo and behold, that happens. Mm. So, yeah, it's the planning is, it's there, but it's not like, it doesn't make or break me. I'm always ready to pivot. I'm always ready to, you know, just do something else, or, you know, do another plan or make a change if need be. So yeah.
To being the flexible and having like knowing where you're going and being flexible and how you're going to get there at the point. I love that though.
Exactly.
You have like such a good vibe and energy that I feel like working for you would be such a blast.
It is a blast.
You're like, I know.
I'm in the office. Who would want that?
Right? Bring it on. Oh, I love it. So I have a couple last questions for you. What's been a book that you've read that has really changed your mindset or way of thinking or doing business?
Oh my goodness. So it's the one that I'm reading right now. It's funny because people on Instagram are asking me about it, and it is called, what is it called? Sorry. It just sort of,
no, you're fine.
The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Bleep.
Yes. Okay. I've heard of that book. I haven't picked it up yet, but you like it?
I like it. I like it because, you know, one of the things I've been saying this year is it is what it is. So you can't focus on the people who don't like you. You can't focus on the things that you did wrong. You can't focus. You can't. You cannot go through life focusing on that stuff. So when you stop giving a damn about the stuff that doesn't really matter, you focus on the things that do matter and the things that do give results. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what you always do is when you read a book like that, you don't necessarily take it to heart. You take it and you mold it to your situation. So if you feel like, you know, if you're an entrepreneur and you've been banging your head over why you haven't gotten as many sales as, you know, what someone predicted you had, then you know what? Maybe you just need to go back and focus on why you started that business. Did you start the business to make money? Of course, everyone wants to make money, but that's not the driving force of all businesses. You want to be that business that people do care about. So maybe you need to go back and focus on that. And so in order to do that, you have to not give a
bleep. Yep.
A bleep, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to go against the status quo and do I remember when I started this business, people would say, why would I want to buy hair that grows out of my head? If I had listened to those people 5 years ago, I would not be the $1 million business that I am today.
So then what was it for you at that moment that allowed you to be like, nope, don't care, moving past it? Like,
I've just always been like that. Mm-hmm. People have always tried to put me in a box and force me into a box and said, well, you have to do A, B, and C. And I'm like, well, what about X, Y, and J? Like, what about J? Like, why can't we do J? Because J looks pretty good to me. So you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and do J.
You're like, thanks, bye.
Yeah. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But you know what? At least I tried. At least I went through that experience and say, you know what? I tried. I failed. Okay. Moving on.
Just move on. Yeah.
It's easier said than done. Don't get me wrong. But
I'm sure once you start just practicing that of like, okay, made a mistake, fine, learn from it, move on. It like gets easier with time and you just keep going and then you don't even think about it. You just do it.
Absolutely. And then when you stop making mistakes, you start questioning yourself like, wait a minute, that went off a little too perfectly. Why did that happen?
You're like, okay, like, am I getting this now? All right. And then you just get to the subtle art of not giving.
Giving a bleep. Yeah.
Yep. Great. Yep. Okay, cool. All right. I'm going to get that book. That is one book that has popped up a few times. Okay. And then another question I have for you is, in your business, if you could wave a magic wand, what is the next piece of your business that you would outsource? Something that you do right now that you're like, I want to get it off my plate.
You know, there's nothing really that I would put my finger on and say I'd like to get rid of that. Just because in order to really have a handle on your business, you have to know all aspects of it. You have to be comfortable with all aspects of it. Now, of course, one of the first things I got rid of was accounting. Why? I'm not good at numbers. I cannot add 1 + 1 to save my life. But it was one of the first things I outsourced because I realized that it wasn't what I was really good at. So at this point, because I've got a team of six people, I've already sort of done that. So at this point in my business, the thing that I would probably outsource would be, I don't even know. I really don't.
That's a good place to be in.
Yeah. Right now I'm having a lot of good problems. You know, I mean, I wish I could be in Hawaii more. So I guess if I had to outsource someone sitting in the office and singing, then I would possibly do that just so I could be in Hawaii with my son.
Hashtag champagne problems, right?
Champagne problems. Absolutely.
Love it. Awesome. Well, Vivian, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. Can you share one last time where my listeners can find out more information about you?
Well, about me, you can find me on Instagram. I'm on there a lot. It's at Vivian. It's Vivian K. So it's ITSVIVIANKAYE. I do a lot of singing on there. You see a lot of, you know, I do a lot of foolishness with my son on there as well. So if you're looking for cute and foolish, that's me and my son. So you can find us on there. And then my business, it's Kinky Curly Yaki. So KinkyCurlyYaki.com.
Awesome. Thank you, Vivian.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's podcast episode. For more information, check out shedidherway.com. And if you enjoyed today's episode, I would love for you to leave me a review on iTunes and let me know what you think. Until next time, keep doing it your way.